and taken only when nobody's looking? What kind of illness has no external symptoms? Then, it dawned on me. Of course. It had to be something to keep her from getting pregnant. I was too distracted to make a good job of the kite, and I cut myself twice in the process of making it. The more I thought about it, the less likely it seemed that confronting my wife directly would get me a straight answer. And so I tried a different tack, and ended up knocking on your door, Sankey, seeking your advice as a doctor. But what you told me when you looked at the pills I'd brought only served to confirm my worst suspicions. Contraceptives! I burst out, forgetting the many other patients, some women included, who were waiting just outside your consulting room. Are you sure?
Now, there's no need,
you blustered, wincing at the volume of my voice, your eyes entreating me to remember where we were. I left you standing there and raced back home, not even stopping for breath, the accusation balanced on my tongue like a primed grenade the whole way. But when I finally did fling our door open, I found myself face to face with my wife, and the pin jammed. Seeing her there reminded me that this was a delicate situation, one in which I'd do best to tread carefully. After all, it was an open secret that my wife and I weren't exactly equals. I'm not talking about any difference in personality. There was nothing much to choose between us there. But as far as our family history was concerned, we couldn't have been further apart. And that, after all, is what counts in this society. On her side, my wife could boast a spotless record, without even so much as a distant relation whose loyalty to the party might be questionable. Whereas on my side, a different story. I've no doubt more than a few jaws would have hit the ground when word got out that Lee Il-chul and Nam Myung-ok were engaged. A white heron and a black crow. What good can come of a match like that? Those would have been the words on everyone's lips. And now that white heron had been going behind my back, looking out for her own interests at the expense of our marriage, which, after all, was the one blemish on her otherwise flawless reputation. This was the first thought that sprang to mind. And was it really any wonder? How else could I interpret the fact that my wife, for whom married life should hardly have had time to lose its shine, wished to avoid having a baby with me? What's happened? My wife asked, seeing my mood as soon as I rushed in. I ground my teeth to give my mouth something to do, cracked my fingers, then threw myself down on the bench by the window, still panting from the exertion. Carefully releasing a gentle breath, my wife picked up a pack of cigarettes and a matchbox, walked over to the bench, and set them down on the windowsill. But I wasn't about to be placated by this show of wifely consideration. The whole incident had forced me to remember the one thing I didn't want to think about, the one thing I could never get away from. My standing. And the reason mine was so low? Because my father was a murderer, albeit only an accidental one, and one whose sole victim was a crate of rice seedlings. This was just after the war, when the socialist system of cooperative farming had only recently been introduced. In other words, it was a time of great upheaval, one of history's so-called transitional periods. So surely, it was a matter, of course, that the majority would find themselves out of their depth. Using greenhouses to raise rice seedlings was utterly alien to those who worked the land. For farmers who'd never known any other way of cultivating rice than to grow the seedlings in water-filled containers before transplanting them into the paddy fields, this new method was bound to prove tricky at first. And that